We're 8:45 on the clock. We will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting, and we'll start by standing and reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Paul Manning. The Open Meetings Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Thiemann. The consent agenda. One, the general agenda. Two, approve minutes of the meeting held June 26, 2016. Approve all claims through July 6, 2016 in the amount of... We're getting it. We'll have that in a minute. Except for claim number 1607-0086 to RL Thiemann Construction in the amount of $15,498.91 to be voted on separately below.
Thanks. Okay, so the total.
Total claims without the RL Thiemann one is?
With it. Well, it's going to be $959,317.
So that's after we approve it later, though.
Just put the.
Okay. We'll be after. It's a later item on the agenda, on the regular agenda for LL Team, and after that claim, the total amount will be $959,317.03. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Number five, approve canceling check number 15120061 to postmaster in the amount of $225. Number six, approve utility permit number 1052 Windstream Nebraska Inc. will be replacing 1,800 feet of cable, will bore under South Culbert 6 feet below flow line and plow in 1,640 feet of cable 4 foot deep in the west shoulder of the road. This is located in the southeast 4th section 4 and southwest 4th of section 3, township 6 north, range 7 east, which is Nemaha Township. Approve utility permit number 1053 Windstream Nebraska Inc. will be replacing 2.5 miles of fiber cable from Highway 4 north of one line on 89th Road to Juniper Road and west on Juniper Road for 1.5 miles on 89th Road. We'll be plowing in cable in the north shoulder of the road 4 foot deep and boring under the culvert 6 foot below flow line of culvert located in the southwest and northwest 4th of Section 23, southwest 4th of Section 14, southeast and southwest 4th Section 15, southwest and southeast 4th, Section 16, Township 4 North, Range 5 East of Blakely Township. Entertain a motion to approve. Well, okay. On number 2, the total without RL Thiemann claim is $943,818.12.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Thiemann. Vote. 7-0. Regular agenda. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove claim number 1607-0086 to RL Thiemann Construction in the amount of $15,498.91. Total of claims approved is then, you had that number for me.
959-317.03.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Juergens. Vote. 6 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Next up is comments from the public. We did not have a sign-in sheet today. We'll just have people come up as they would like to talk in however order. We will be limiting it to 5 minutes. I ask people to be respectful of other people. When they are making comments, please let them have the opportunity to have their voice heard. I also will ask people to be mindful of the fact that if you've talked about some subject for several times, be aware that those comments have been heard before. And as Roger said last meeting, we cannot make any decisions based on any of your comments today as far as the chicken permit goes. So just want people to understand that. Otherwise, we're ready for public comments. Whoever would like to start out. And this is, yeah, come on up. Yep. This does not have to be on the chicken permits either. This can be on anything. So.
All right. Well, it's on the chicken permit, and it's been a long 18 weeks since we started
this. Hold it. Your name and address. We don't swear you in, but we do need a name and address.
Yep. Carla Atkins. I live at 4683 East Apple Road. I only have two things to say. The first is about at the last meeting you talked about the new facility in Waverly and about how it really didn't smell that bad. Well, give it a couple years. If you've gone to the one down in Tecumseh, it probably didn't smell when it was new either, but it smells now because chicken just smells. And also, I drove out to Waverly to check out the location and the facility out there, and it sits back about a quarter of a mile off the road. In fact, I passed it the first time because you don't even see it there. And there's only two houses. I drove around that section, and there's only two houses that sit on that section of land that that facility is on. Now, to me, that's a better setup for a chicken facility to be than the one that's being proposed today. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Someone else would like to speak?
Harvey Hartway, 4211 East Apple Road, Corbin, Nebraska. I have a few points I'd like to make, and I appreciate the opportunity to get up and to speak today, and I'm no speaker, so bear with me. We went up to the property a little over a week ago, and we pulled right in on the property, and we were stopped about 40 to 50 feet west of the east building. They had the overhead door up. And a person come out to talk to us. We talked to him for about 15, 20 minutes. And we asked him if he worked there. He said, yes. Do you own it? He said, yes. But after talking to Mr. Tiemann last night, I surmised that it's probably the owner's son. But when you ask him, he says, yeah, we own it. And the odor we could definitely smell from our car. The wind was out of the south, and as I said, we were parked on the west side, so most of the smell would have been blown to the north. But what they were doing, the chickens had just been removed, and they were washing down the inside and disinfecting it. So the only thing I could figure out is it's probably smells because the manure is wet. And if that is the case, then the manure that they pile outside when you get rain is going to also smell. As much rain as we had this spring, if they pile that manure outside at this new facility, then, and if that's the case that it smells, we would have had a lot of smell for about 2 weeks because we got all kinds of rain, almost so much they couldn't get the crops in. The other thing I asked him about and was concerned about was, how about the runoff? Where we live, we got a 14-acre pond just south of that confinement where it's proposed. I noticed to the north there was a sloping hill that went down, and there's a small creek that runs through there, and it's lined with trees. There's a lot of trees around it. And I says, do you have any concern with the runoff into that creek? And he says, well, we were forced to build a dam to catch the runoff so it would not get to that creek. And this is his words. I don't know who forced him to build the dam, whether it was a DEQ or what. I didn't ask him why he was required to build that dam, but he had to build a dam. So there is some runoff. You know, it's not just rainwater. It's evidently some of the manure that washes into the creek. I asked him if I could get out of the car. He said no, because I wanted to go to the south or north side of the building because the wind was out of the south, and I wanted to just see how much worse the smell was there than what we could smell inside our vehicle. The other thing is there's many trees around that area, a lot more trees there than there is in our area, and that would help to cut down the wind, and it wouldn't carry the smell as far, I would not assume, because trees make a lot of difference. In fact, somebody said if you built a windbreak along that, it would help immensely to keep the smell from being carried a distance. The building is south and east of Waverly, and it's a little more than a mile away. The other thing I ask him about is they do not have the fence up yet to let the chickens outside. So I ask him, I says, well, how many chickens you think are going to go outside? He says, I don't know. He says, there's nothing restricting them from getting out. And I says, well, it was my understanding there's a 12-inch ledge that they got to get over. He says, no, there's not. He says, there's like a 2-inch ledge. And he said that would not restrict the chickens from getting out. Now, I don't know if it was only 2 inches because it was filled with sawdust and manure. And so that, you know, would raise it up so the ledge wasn't so high. So I'm not sure what it is. But I'm sure they would have to have some ledge to keep the sawdust and stuff from, you know, getting pushed out. That's all I have to say. I hope I stayed within 5 minutes. And I want to, you know, until I haven't voiced any opinion up here until I went to the up to view that area, and I felt obligated that I should get up and share what our experiences were. And I want to thank the board for giving me the opportunity to get up and speak. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Harvey. Anyone else?
Gene Busboom. Just want to say we went down there Sunday, and so I immediately, after I found the place, I went by it once. I thought it was north of town, but it was south. And after being out there, I did call Myron and told him to get Matt and bring him with you. But that day it smelled. I know they've been doing work out there, but when I talked to Myron later, he said they were cleaning out some turkey houses west of that yet. But, you know, the turkey, chicken, it's all going to smell when they clean them out and stuff. But just wanted to, you know, last week we heard they don't smell like it's going to be 365 days a year. It ain't going to smell. That day it did smell, so. And like I say, that one, as others said, it sits in a great spot. I wouldn't have a problem living a mile from that one. Can't see it, can't hear it. This one's right on top of our hill, and we're fighting for resale value more than anything on our places. So that's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Gene. We have a timed event at 9 o'clock that we need to honor. We have a veteran's honor, so I have 8:58 on the clock. So if somebody thinks they can get done in a minute, you're more than welcome to talk. Otherwise, we're going to wait just a minute here now so that we can have our veteran's honor, because that is a timed event that we do need to abide by or whatever on our agenda. So is he here? Oh, better make sure he's here, because otherwise then we're going to have the timed event. But we've got probably a minute and a half here on the clock that we will go ahead and have that part of the program. Come on. Oh, boy, yeah. We may
Thank
need...
You.
Yeah. Yeah, if, Bonnie, thank you. Yeah, stand to the side there or something and...
We could have quite a few people for this tonight.
Well. Wow. We got a good crowd for this, don't
good
we?
Good crowd today.
Yes. Come. Wow. They keep coming, don't they?
Got a capacity limit?
We're just going to, I don't know if we do or not.
The State Fire Marshal on that.
Yeah. We didn't invite him, so yeah.
Their sprinklers were okay.
Yep. Okay. We want to make sure everybody gets in, all that wants to be a part of this. So,
George.
Yeah.
Come on up front. Couple.
Yes, everybody in that wants to be in for this? Yeah. Okay. Good deal. Okay. It's 9 o'clock on the clock, so go ahead and start, Phil.
All right. At this time, I'd like to honor one of our veterans in Gage County. This month, we'll be honoring Franklin E. Holtmeyer. He served in the United States Navy from May of 11th of 1944 to April 17th of 1946. He was a motor machinist mate, third class. He served on the USS Southern Seas and the USS LSM 223. He received the Asiatic Pacific Service Medal, American Campaign Medal, and the United States World War II Victory Medal. This time I'd like to introduce Franklin Holtmeyer.
I'll try to make it short. I spent my basic training in Farragut, Idaho, and turned in leave. Then I went and had orders for overseas duty. It took us 30 days to get to Inuvik, and there I boarded the USS Southern Sea, which won the fighting ship and all. Also good duty, good food, no regulation, small ship, 200-foot log, which made it good duty. Until we just followed the islands and we took them back. And always a week or two later, we were always safe. The island was secure by the time we got there, which made it awful good duty. And then we got to Okinawa, is where we run into trouble in a typhoon, which sunk our ship with the loss of 14 member crew. And we had about 40-some as a crew on that, only 200-foot log. Anyway, in the typhoon, all I can remember is getting washed off by a wave of some kind, and I sent a little prayer. Not my will, but thine be done. And after that, I didn't worry about a thing. I didn't have a worry in the world until I felt something on my feet. And the next wave coming along set me way up on the island, way up there, right in front of an MP. And of course, we lived in tents, and after that, for had a board of inquiry, just excuse everybody for having any fault of the ship sinking, I guess. Anyway, one afternoon some admiral come along and said, "What are you guys doing here?" And we told him, "Well, that's our officer, our head officer, and one left." He said, "That's what we'd like to know." He said, "Get on that ship and go to the United States." And there we did. We got on and went home. Didn't make it. And I'd like to thank the board and whoever suggested me to be the honor of the month. Thank you.
We thank you very much.
I've known Frank for many years, and all I got to say, you just got off work, Frank?
Yeah.
Frank, on behalf of the county, I'd like to give you this small token of our appreciation and this plaque for your years of service.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Frank.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you.
Well, yes. That ends the part of the veterans there for Frank and stuff, and we'll allow a few minutes for everyone to leave that came for that or whatever, so that we thank you very much for coming and being a part of this, and we really thank Frank.
Right.
No.
Hey, Toby, you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Toby's honor. Which one's Toby?
Well, the one with the pink shirt on.
Yes.
Roger.
I got cough drops. It's bad. If I leave, you know it.
This is a dang tickle. I can't shake it.
We'll go ahead and resume public comment. This time, is there anyone else who would like to speak? And this doesn't necessarily need to be on the permit, the chicken permit. So go ahead. Alan Growl has something here. We'll get you yet.
My name is Alan Growl. I'm a citizen of Beatrice and Gage County. I served on this board for 8 years. Today, I want to just share my perception about a situation in Gage County that I hope that you guys will continue to support in a positive manner. I read in interest the articles about the drug dog. What disappointed me a little bit was to think that we were going to try to support this whole effort by fundraising. I thought, gee, every day I get up, I read in the newspaper that we've had a drug crime in Beatrice, or there's been one in Wymore or Blue Springs, but it just isn't like it was 10 years ago. It's pretty significant, and it's time that I think Gus's idea for the dog is positive. I would hope that I now have learned that you have an item in the budget that would support this, because I don't believe donations would sustain it on a continuing basis. I'm not opposed to donations. I think government should always accept donations because they save dollars for taxpayers. But how do you sustain this program? Because I truly believe that we're in a long-term war on drugs in Gage County, and I think we need to give Gus every tool that you can give him. And I would hope hope when the articles come out, they're of a positive nature. As I read it, I couldn't really tell whether you guys were totally supportive or whether you were, you know, well, hey, if somebody else pay the bill, we won't get involved. My personal opinion is our county board and county taxpayers do need to be involved in this. We need to give Gus the tools, hopefully, that would do it. I would urge you to ensure that he gets full funding to meet the program. I would hope that you would monitor it so we would know that it's producing the results for the dollars that you're putting into it. But I can't believe that we can go wrong, having talked to other communities that have a dog program. Pretty important thing when you think about our children in high school. We have a growing problem. I don't know if we'll ever be able to solve it, but we should certainly work in a very aggressive manner. And if that means tax dollars got to go in there to get the job done, let's do that as citizens in Gage County. Any questions?
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you for your time.
I know there's an individual back there who'd like to talk.
Trenton Burr, 1529 East Apple Road, Cortland, Nebraska. I am going to bring it back to the chicken farms, but I actually approve of the chicken barns, and that's because Roy is trying to use his private property the way he sees fit, and what I've heard so far, it's a legal means of the to use that property. There's nothing illegal that he's doing, and so stopping him would basically be stopping illegal use of property. And to do that, would have to be detrimental to the lives of other people. And the conversation I've heard thus far is there's two main arguments for detriment to other people's lives, and that is the case for asthma of the Obergs and the other case of loss of property value. And from the research I've done so far on both topics, I don't really see much evidence for either case. I see evidence for asthma concerns for workers in the direct vicinity of the facilities, though not any of adjacent properties to those facilities. I haven't seen any studies whatsoever even done of that, not to mean that there isn't any. I just have not seen them. And I also have not seen any direct evidence for property loss values to adjacent properties. In fact, the barns are by Waverly. I did some research on the assessor, and those have actually increased in value in the last 5 years. So that's kind of counter evidence. But I just think that to oppose this would be in violation of his property rights of a legal means of usage, and I don't see a reason to stop them because I don't see so far any real evidence of detrimental effects to the lives of other people. Thanks.
Anyone else like to speak at the public comment?
John Verpka, 1640 South 38th Road, Cleveland. I'm a half mile north of the proposed site. Busbeams have talked a lot about had mentioned in the past about the roads. Yes, the roads need some work. They've needed some work in the past, or for some time now. But this here, we're basically talking about rebuilding the whole road, and we're talking 3 miles from Apple Road up to 41 is 3 miles. It needs to be widened. It's going to have to be built up. It's going to have a heavy base under it. What's this going to cost? We've never heard a number, because the small amount of money, the income that's going to come from this is like less than $500 a year going toward the township. So the county, us taxpayers, are going to have to be paying for this. So I think we need to. I want this to be over with, too, but is it going to cost $100,000? I don't know. I think we need to know. And Roy has said in the past it's going to bring income, or it'd be good for the economy, for the county. Let him pay for the road, you know, because us taxpayers are going to be paying for it. And our values are going to depreciate because of it, but our tax dollars, they're going to increase. So, and as far as everything is too, it's not bringing anything to this this county. In fact, the building or the farm they're putting up southwest of Cortland, it's the workers are coming from out of state. The buildings themselves aren't even come from, they're coming from out of state, so it's not benefiting anybody but Roy. So that's all I got to say.
Thank you. Anyone else like to talk? A public comment?
I'm Dave Whitting, 210 West 9th, Cortland. Okay. We've laid down a factual basis here, and, you know, as far as personal property rights, you know, our property rights are very important, too, as far as the type of traffic and its weight and all of that, okay? We've talked about the cost of building that road. Your $28,000 a year is not going to cover that. I don't know, when I've had heavy equipment stuff done, it'll move quickly. Cost of maintaining this road, we know that. We know it's going to smell. Really? 150,000 chickens are going to smell. Everybody, we all cleaned out our 200-head chicken house when I was a kid, and it smelled. Granted, it's not new, okay? I talked about the last time when I was up here. This is not farming. This is agriculture in the definition that it is food production. Okay, that Hormel plant outside of over there going into Iowa, Missouri, there right outside of Brownville. Is that farming or is that agriculture? The hog buying plant right outside of Pickerel. Is that farming or is that agriculture? This is MBA looking for somebody to rent some, looking for a landlord. This isn't farming. Just wanted to reiterate that. Okay, we talked about builders not wanting to develop close to this. Okay, knowing the smell, I used to do what Gus did over in Johnson County right after Vern Pike. I'm sure some people have looked that up. That was me. I was 957, and I fielded these complaints, things of that nature, and they're coming, Gus. I feel bad for your deputies. The missed opportunity from the development from moving south, go to Lincoln, see what's happening. Here they come. We don't necessarily like it, like you spoke last time. We don't want to be told by someone out of South Lincoln how we in North Gage County want to live. But they're coming, and it's a good thing. So let's capitalize on that. Let's make it an opportunity. To rebut last meeting, because I didn't get a chance, interesting, this fertilizer is organic. As a microbiologist, I can tell you organic. Nitrates are organic as well. Lithium is organic as well. Zinc is organic as well. Look at that definition of organic. All right? What kind of more organic do you want? I've heard some troubling statements, okay? I don't envy you. I've been in the position of political leadership, and I don't envy the pain that you all have gone through. I understand what that is. It's very difficult to make even half the people happy. So I've heard these troubling statements, and I understand them. We must back our zoning board.
Dave, 1 minute.
1 minute. I can assure a vote against this is not against your zoning board. Zoning board, we have to treat everybody the same in Gage County. Untrue. No. Things are different. 2 miles east of Beatrice, this wouldn't happen. 2 miles east of the golf course, this isn't going to happen. I ask you as commissioners and people, I have been in elected positions before, vote for the people, and it's quite obvious in North Gage County what we want. Thank you.
Any Anybody else like to make comments?
Jennifer Oberg, 3987 East Apple Road. I just find it crazy that we're still here trying to voice our opinions on how wrong we feel this whole operation is. It's not that we're against the chicken farm, as I repeated before. It's the location of it. When you have 100% of your neighbors within 1 mile, some of them farmers, hundreds of people within a 3 mile radius, the whole entire Cortland town board. We had the town attorney come here and speak the other night saying that there's more cons than there are pros to this. When an operation like this, that is a special use permit, this is not something typically that a farmer could use his land to do. He is applying for a special use permit. It's beyond what is usually allowed in that area. Just because planning and zoning passed it because he met the boundary guidelines. We were told by planning and zoning they're basically there to make sure that he's within his distances and that we are to voice our opinion to you. So we are. We need to make sure that, you know, in the homes in this area, most of us have been there for 15 years or more. We take pride in our places. Back in planning and zoning, we were told he was supposed to have his manure plan, the 40 by 60 building. We never saw that on a plan. However, it still passed through. We still don't have an answer how the manure and the birds are stored. This may be a brand new facility, and it may be run different, but it's how it's run, and it's how the manure and the birds are stored. If there is not a clear plan on how this is going to be done, I am very worried. And it will. The high amounts of ammonia will burn your throat. We went past Tecumseh, and yes, that's the older facility. But when you have piles of manure and dead birds and moisture hitting that, it is very, very strong. It will make you sick. We are just so deathly afraid. You know, this is an issue where you can't just get in your car and drive away from it. You know, what's this place going to be run like? It could be run fine in the first few years. It could be fine. It's brand new. He's probably going to take good care of it. But what's going to happen down the road, 4 or 5 years, when he gets tired of it? We were told before that many times that, you know, he moves on to something else. If you're putting restrictions on the manure and birds, how are you going to enforce that when it gets sold to a new owner? Who's going to monitor that? All I ask for you today is to stop for a minute and think. I think this is more of a moral issue. There's so many, you have so many people. I wish I would have kept that petition going, because I tell you what, I guarantee I could have had probably another 100 more signatures on it. If that doesn't tell you how many people in our area do not want this, I just ask you to stop today and think, could you, each one of you personally, do this to hundreds of friends and family in your area? Could you morally make the decision to do this and keep fighting for it? This isn't about a boundary. This is about how you treat your family, your friends and your neighbors.
Thank you. Anyone else? Bonnie.
I think Jen said it best. Bonnie Busboom, you should know by now.
But we need it for the record.
I know. Bonnie Busboom, 3441 South 38 Road. No problem. Jen said it best, because she spoke from her heart about her family and about living there, living conditions. When do you guys like to sit outdoors? The best time to sit outdoors at our house is after it's rained. Nice, cool evening, probably a little dampness in the air. I've been to both farms. There's no way we're going to be able to do this, people. We're not going to be able to enjoy the life that we've had, and I've been there for 36 years. We farm. We make stink. That's not it. This is commercial operation. This is on the top of a hill on a little narrow road that no one has been able to yet in 36 years maintain properly, and we've gotten by. We're not there to complain. If we were there to complain, we'd have been at every one of these meetings for 36 years on that road condition. You've never seen me before this event. And I hope you never do again. But what I'm saying is what Jen said. Think about it. You know, we can think all these pros and all these cons and all these things that are way above me and biologist things and everything else. But really what it comes down to is we know there needs to be chicken farms. That's fine. The one at Waverly, down in a little valley, trees everywhere. Waverly's probably not going to jump the interstate and head south anyway. But this is not that. This is at the top of a hill. This is on a little pinky road. There's nothing good about this particular location. The people who spoke in favor of this, Engage, what is their skin in my game at my house? They're not going to ever be there to smell what we have to smell. We've heard from Midwest Livestock Representative. What is their skin in my game at my house? Nothing. They're not going to be over here smelling it. I'm not disrespectful to you guys, but if you approve this, you're not going to be here 10 or 15 years down the road when I'm still smelling it. So I want you to really think about those things, because we're not here complaining and whining and being difficult.
1 minute, Bonnie.
I'm just about done. So I appreciate your time. I respect all of you very much. I realize this is a difficult decision, but please make it from your heart. And think about if you would want this for your kids and your kids and your kids for the rest of 30 years at least, no matter who owns it and no matter how it's taken care of, because you can't control all that, fellas. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Just had to make one fun comment. You should have had Danny come in to make a presentation. Would have been good.
Anyone else? Last opportunity. Seeing none, we'll move on. We do have committee reports next, but I think we'll go ahead and have committee reports later. I don't think we need to go through those while everybody else is here. The next up item on the agenda is to discuss and approve or disapprove the resolution on the special use permit number 2016-2 for placement of poultry barns located in the west one half of the southwest one fourth of Section 8, Nemaha Township.
Resolution 16-12.
16-12 is the number on this resolution. First, we're going to have a visit with the board. Last time I told Roy he could get up and talk at our last board meeting, I erred greatly on that part. Roy did not get the opportunity to talk. This is his permit. I've had some discussions about him with him about some things that this board has requested. Somebody mentioned about the waste and the birds. This board, I visited with him last week about that this board wants a written proposal from him on the waste and the chickens. So that, he said that would be part of his talk today. This is Roy's permit, so he gets to get up and present your comments. Now, Roy, come on up.
Good morning, Roy Mulder, 6005 East Gage Road, First. On July 22nd, as Myron just alluded to, we had a meeting. Due to time, I was unable to speak. I sent you all an email with some of my comments that I was going to mention that day. I assume you all got it, or Myron said that you would have a copy of it today. So, I think we've gone over most of the topics enough. If you have any further questions, you're sure free to ask. Some of the topics that was left up in the air was a DEQ site visit. On 6/30/2016, I met with Kevin, and I cannot pronounce his last name, but he's from the DEQ. He had no problem with the site, nor my plan to temporarily pile manure on the south end of the barns if it was the time of the year when we was unable to spread it immediately. The rules on that are laid out in the Title 130 Livestock Waste Control Regulations. They have no problem with that. Mr. Hartwig said something about a dam being built north at the barn by Waverly. It's not a dam, it's a berm. Kevin and I visited about that. If there's water that's going to run through the pile, they ask that you build a berm around it so the water don't penetrate the pile or run through it. Also, Kevin noted that after a rain, and I've said several times that the manure absorbs about the first half inch of water. It forms a shell over it, sealing it up in comparison to silage, which is ground corn. It'll seal itself, and no smell, no flies. It's too hot in there. It's going through a compost process. The flies don't like that. The smell and the water runoff, again, is in the DEQ's eyes, is not a big issue. It's no issue, and they police this. I have no verification that he was there for this visit. The The visit is going through the channels at the DEQ, and I have yet to receive confirmation from him. Why he was in the area, he did stop by my cattle feedlot and do an inspection there, and I do have a copy of that if you'd like to see it. They are watching. They're watching things that are going on in the area, and that's their job. They're the watchdogs for the state. Number two, my plan for manure. As the DEQ allows, I plan to spread it on my own farm ground immediately upon removal from the barn or temporarily stockpile at the farm or on the field edge where it will be spread at a later date. Again, in this book, it outlines that we have 180 days. They give us 180 days because of the season changes where we can or can't get in the field to spread it. They're going through some stuff, as we learned in Waverly, at those barns, that they are running the manure through a compost and they're reusing it. They lock it in the barn. It runs through a compost between flocks. They respread it and use it for the next flock. It's kind of an ongoing science with these guys. They're trying to find ways to utilize it and reuse it. And if this works for them, the manure coming out of the barn will be cut in half. They take half of it out, they compost the other half, and reuse it in the barn. So again, these are DEQ, State of Nebraska, DEQ guidelines that are laid out. And those are the ones that I intend to follow. I have talked about different things. The process in which we have to follow as growers has changed since we started this back in March. And like I said, it's an ongoing science. They're developing new ways to handle these things. The spreaders that I hire, a friend of mine just bought a new one. It's a $300,000 piece of equipment. It's not grandpa's old spreader that he pulls with a tractor and you go out there and lob it out. These are GPS guided. They're according to the analysis that I've talked about earlier in another meeting from the University of Nebraska, we will apply accordingly so that we don't spread too much. We can't spread too much. It will kill our crop ground. It's too hot a product. It's too volatile. We can't put it on too heavy because we will be detrimental to ourselves in doing that. It's a science. It's not just take it out and throw it around and get rid of it. It's not that way. Number three of the things that was kind of left in the air is how to deal with the deads. I've been to several barns. They compost them on site. The smell, the flies, everything else, and the compost manner of handling it is at a minimum. They do it right beside their litter. They'll put down a layer of straw, put the deads on top, put down a layer of manure or litter, another layer of litter. It kind of seals it up. The flies are not there. As three of the board members have visited, we've seen it. We know what it smells like. And that's the way I intend to do it. As with any business, I'm trying to get this off the ground at a minimal expense. And these are the guidelines that are set out by the state of Nebraska, and that's what I intend to follow. They are checking on me. They are policing me. The MBA is also policing me. And I think that's satisfactory, or should be satisfactory to the board, I guess. MBA figures they have about $10 a bird invested in this. I've got the buildings, the land. It's their birds. That comes up to $225,000 per barn that they have invested. They're not going to let me slough off, not take care of things. We have other organizations other than the DEQ that are watching how I run my operation. One of them is called the Department of Land Stewardship. It's the Iowa Department of Land Stewardship. They're the ones that give us the organic grown classification. I have to meet their criteria of care. They stop in periodically, visit the barns. The other one is Human Farm Animal Care. They come around periodically and measure ammonia amounts in the barns. They check the site for deads, for feed, for whatever. They are another watchdog that watches MBA. MBA also has their name to protect, because everybody knows that it's their birds in there. And if I'm doing a trashy job of it, it's gonna be a scar on their name, and they don't want that. I've heard talk about trees and things like that. No, I don't have any trees growing, but I do intend to plant them. It's been farm ground. It's been crop ground. We don't plant trees on crop ground. Another reason we don't plant trees or certain varieties of trees is because birds spread disease. That's the reason why they wouldn't let Mr. Hartwig out of his car. There's disease issues that go on with these. Last summer, there was a huge disease issue in northern Nebraska. It killed about every pullet in northern Nebraska. The egg-laying community had a heck of a time dealing with those. That's why there's rules and regulations as far as just driving onto a farm and jumping out of your car. And you just can't do that. Myself and some of the board members and my nephew have visited the farm up by Waverly. I think they've talked about what they found. And I think that we was all pleasantly surprised. After several meetings and hearing from both sides, it comes down to you as a board making a decision. Planning and zoning, who makes the rules I have to abide by, to approve, has approved the project. I feel it's much bigger than my project. Your decision will impact other livestock producers and the future of agriculture in Gage County. Thank you as a board for the time that you've spent. I've seen several of you, visited with you, driving the area, going up to Waverly, going to Tecumseh to visit the other facilities. I really appreciate it. It's been an interesting and very educational process. And, again, thank you for your service. That's about all I have.
Any questions for Roy?
I don't so much have questions. I'll have some comments.
Oh, no, I've got a question because you and I visited about the fact, and I guess I need Lisa's help a little bit on this. I believe when we visited last time that, like the compost pile or the manure pile, it's very important for us to have exactly where you're going to do that because maybe I'm wrong, maybe I heard it wrong, but that also changes or could change the setback requirements.
Right. So the county would measure from the manure production, so in this yep. case if there was manure being composted of any sort,
right.
That would be where the measurements would be taken.
And I don't mean to pick on you, Roy, but you said in your thing you were going to do it on the south end of it. We need for this permit, or at least I do. I don't know about the rest of them. I do. I need for this permit to know where that's going to be. Well, we really need it so that if you're going to pile it 200 feet south of the north end, all of a sudden you're out of the requirements for the setback, okay? That's why we need to know where you're going to compost and store the waste.
I realize that, and that's why I've got the barns laid out the way they do. Pretty much the north end is going to be of the barn complex is going to be, we plan to plant a windbreak around there. We know that that is our north point for where we can handle our manure. Everything else, the feed bins, everything else is going to be on the south end. We have, I don't remember the measurements between Buzzboom's house and the north end, or excuse me, the south end of the barns, but we have, I believe, about a 300 and some foot fudge factor in there.
There's just 3,500 feet.
Okay, I don't know what's in a half a mile.
2680 or roughly.
Okay, so we got about 1,000 feet there where we can handle manure, we can handle feed, we can build driveways, we can do things like that. That is the, I guess, fudge factor, if you will. We realize that we cannot go any further north than the buildings. That we put a 20 foot in there so we can build our berm around, and that's, we plan to go probably some 50 foot north of the buildings because there's a strip between the waterway and what will be the north end of the barns. We plan on planting a cedar tree windbreak to both protect the barn from winds and as a screen, like Mr. Hartwig talked about, a screen to filter the air. Everybody's got windbreaks around their house, around their facilities. In Nebraska, we get a north wind, northwest wind. That's why we're going to plant it. It isn't there yet? No, because it's a cornfield now. When I wouldn't plant it until I knew I was going to have something that I needed to protect.
So then you plan on using your... I guess I'm more concerned about the waste pile. Yeah, I know you're going to store that south of the north end of the barns. So that means you're going to be east of the barns. Where are you going to compost the chickens at then? Right by the waste pile? What I feel that this permit, what we need to know, and I've visited with you, Roy, we need to know where the location of that is so that if something changes distance-wise, it still meets the permit.
And I would agree with that. We need something written that's part of this application going forward on those two issues. Okay. And I know you've asked for that.
Yes,
and I've tried to spell that out in the email, and I've tried to spell it out in this. It's on the site. And, yes, it will be within in the – my site is limited to where you guys say it can be. So, yes, I know I can't go north there. I know I can't go south of there to only a certain extent. It's going to be as close to the barn, south end of the barn, as we can get it. We're not going to – carry it very far because it's impractical to do that. Why would I take it clear to the south end someplace and it's going to be up there by the driveways where we can handle it when the time comes, when the weather's permissible. It's going to be there. And we know that we got that fudge factor from the drawings that the surveyor put out. That's part of the site. The site is part of the permit. That's why I've tried to
and that's why, Roy, we've asked some of these questions also.
I understand.
It's part of permit. I'm not trying to pick on you. But
I understand, Myron.
Some of us on the board definitely want that clarification, okay?
Do you want me to go out there and put an X in the field and say this is where we're going to put it? We don't know. We know we're going to be within our boundaries of what the planning and zoning will allow us to do. We're going to be within our setbacks. We have to be because we're policed. I can't go out there and say this is where we're going to put it, right here, because we don't even have a building up or nothing to. All we've got is your guys' measurements, the county surveyor's measurements, to say this is where you are okay to build and do this. And that's what we're going off of. The sites I have visited, it's right outside of the barn door. And right outside of the south barn door, again, according to the drawing, there's a several hundred foot factor there to the south. There's a several hundred foot factor to the east. If we put it in the far southeast corner, according to the drawings, we're going to be okay from our setback standpoint.
John?
Well, it does need to be part of the application. As far as that's my take on it. It just needs to be part of the application. Planning and zoning has obviously asked about it, and we've asked about it before, and we just need it. It might not make a difference to me, but
how much more clear do you want me to say?
We need a written amendment as to where this is going to be.
Probably the easiest thing to do would be take a drawing just like this and say this is where it's going to be. I mean, the buildings are drawn out. I mean, just like on this here, I mean, this, it doesn't have to be exactly this one. This is one that gives dimensions to the houses. But here are the proposed barns, just a mark on there that says this is a proposed pile, this is a proposed size. I guess that gives a visual and something that we can file along with the permit.
Can you, Roy... Are you able to now, or you want
sure.
more time? Go ahead and take that drawing and draw on there where your proposal is so that we can see that.
Wait. Okay, so you're right here. So draw out where your manure is. Here. Yep.
Nope. That's part of his permit.
You can reference a condition and attach that.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be the easiest thing because I don't know it's not necessary.
And what Roger, maybe you could explain that, what we can use this for as part of the permit, okay?
Yeah. Whoever makes a motion, whatever way they go, if you would want to reference that as an exhibit to attach to the resolution. That would be basically it. Operate as a condition of the grant.
Which one is the manure pile, and which one is this going to be your manure pile, or is this going to be your compost pile? Because we would measure
in that general area, I guess.
Okay, so this would be manure. All right.
Any more questions for Roy?
I wrote that in on there. I put a couple X's on there on the south end of the barn. I wrote that that's a proposed manure and composting site, and I initialed it.
Thank you. Thank you, Roy.
You're welcome.
I guess I wouldn't call it the proposed site. It's got to be the site or not. I mean, if it moves, you know, it's not what you submitted there.
We'll have Roger look at it.
Yeah.
I guess I use proposed because I haven't been granted a permit yet, so I don't know if I'm good. So I'm using proposed as language for the whole thing, the proposed buildings, the proposed.
Yep. We'll take but that.
Gary?
I think, Roy, the thing is that, you know, a couple weeks back, you sat here and you said, I'm going to sell the manure. I'm not going to compost the animals here. And now you're sitting here and you're saying, probably I'm going to do this. And then you say proposed. And I think that's, you know, John's not, you know, I might be putting words in John's mouth, but I think what John's trying to say is that it is or isn't.
Well, I think I clarified that in the email that you guys got, that after visiting with DEQ, after visiting with other area livestock producers, before I back myself in a corner and say I'm gonna not do this because I'm setting a precedence for guys in the future, guys or gals in the future that want to build a facility like this, without putting a lot of stipulations on it, without saying this is exactly what I'm gonna do. I guess I did some research since then. I wanted to clarify that it was okay with the DEQ. I did clarify it. He showed it to me in the book, and so yes, I have been back and forth on that, but that is okay. We visited barns that are doing that. It seems to be a good mannerism to handle it in. The smell, the flies, everything else is not there.
Denny has a question. Yep.
I don't have any question, but I have a comment. I guess with hearing the testimony of all of the neighbors of where you're proposing to put this and the effect that it could have on them, from smell, from health. I have a real problem with why you can't find another appropriate area to place this facility. I'm an ag supporter, have been my entire life. That's what's made this entire community. But I'm having a real problem with this one relative to the issues and the neighbors and the people in the community. So I just want to make that statement. I'm sorry, Roy, but I can't be supportive of what you're doing.
Thank you.
Any more? John?
And I guess as far as a comment, and I know we delayed it 2 weeks, and my mind hasn't changed, but it did solidify. I've talked to numerous farmers, and none of them say it's the right location. And several of them have said, I wouldn't build it there. I wouldn't build it there myself. And it's not even the best location on your own property. This piece of property, as well as a different piece of property you might own. And I don't agree that it's bigger than your decision. We've approved two other chicken facilities on 7-0 votes and not really had much concern. But this one's in a different location with a lot of different issues.
Any more questions, comments for Roy?
Do you want to include anything? Lisa just showed me the plan of things he listed, planting trees. Is there anything like that that you want to include on the proposed vote for this, or are there any other items? Was the manure pile the primary item?
You know, I guess if we wanted to include it in references, we could. I don't know. I guess that's up to everybody else. And Roy, just a quick comment on your email. We got your email, and that's fine, but unless we basically attach it to this permit, then that's just an email from you, okay? You understand that, the difference there and stuff, so which we haven't decided to do or whatever, so I don't know. It's
I guess just in I wanted to wait 2 weeks, go take a look at these, actually see them with my own eyes, you know, smell. I went up to Waverly. We took a look at those barns just prior to the meeting. That's why I was walking in late, not because I was getting here late. I was on the phone with the Lancaster assessor. And from that barn to the north side of the interstate, the north side of the westbound lane, was 7,000 feet. So that newest development is within a half mile, it looks like, of these barns to the northwest, or in that area. She didn't know for sure, half mile, three-quarter mile. And then that next development is across the interstate, basically straight north. I talked to the deputy clerk there in Waverly. I asked about complaints, problems to the city. They haven't had any that she knows of. And like I say, this is not arguing for or against, just letting you know what I found out. There's a lot of houses in that area, which I did not realize until we started pulling back on the map and looking. I tried to get a hold of the Tecumseh clerk. I didn't get a hold of him. I talked to the building inspector over at Tecumseh, and he said that wasn't really his forte, but he hadn't heard of a lot of problems considering how many birds there were there. I talked to county zoning over there, Mike Davidson. He was talking about how many barns there were. He said there's some people they adamantly hate these buildings no matter what. Some of them have valid complaints, he said, but he said there's usually just a couple people he hears from. There's been nice houses built and bought since the barns were up. There's an incredibly big facility, 30 to 40 barns over there on the one side. I was really surprised to the west of 50 there, on 41, there's a 10-barn unit. And there's a house immediately across the road to the south. We're talking 600 feet away. And I pulled up to drive on site because I wanted to get up close to the buildings, and I saw the biosecurity sign, so I stopped. And I saw somebody looking through the blinds across the road. So I went over there, talked to them. I thought it must be a manager. They're not involved with Smart Chicken, MBA. They have no connection to them at all. The fellow that lives there is a federal meat inspector that's retired. He had that ground, so when he retired, he came back and put the house there. They were building the first four barns when he moved in there. And since then, now they have 10 barns. And I asked him about issues, and he said, people will call me crazy, but I don't have smell problems there, which seems hard to believe to me because a woman down the road says there are. He said they have feathers in their yard when they move birds. He said when they move that manure, it smells, though. When they scoop it, when they pile it, when they haul it, those are days they have odor issues. He said it does smell when you're moving that manure. The worst was an incinerator that the former operators used. They said the incinerator ran on Sundays, and it was a really foul smell. The new operators compost, and he said they don't have a odor issue like that now, other than when they're moving the manure. I went over there on Saturday when it was raining. I was trying to get a day when it was wet before I drove around. I went around that section. There were some houses. No one came to the door, but there were windows open. These were further away. These were north of those west buildings. I asked that guy to the south about flies and rodents because that seems to be big issues. It was a real wet day that day, but I didn't see any flies. He said he didn't seem to have rodent issues. In Waverly, we didn't see a lot of flies. There's going to be some flies. There's going to be some smell. It's impossible to have an odor-free livestock facility. But where I stood in front of the fans out there when they were running, to me it smelled like an open feed sack. That's more or less the odor I smelled. The MBA guy talked to me a little bit about the way they're composting in the building. When I was talking to Harvey, I was explaining that a little bit. Those buildings that he smelled when they were cleaning them out, they were freshly emptied, and then they take this manure and windrow it, and they cook it up, and they push as much ammonia out of it as possible, heat it up. He said, you can't even go in those buildings now. And then it dissipates. They take part of it out. I'm sure that's a time that it'll smell, and they reuse part of it. It's very different than what I anticipated. Is there going to be odor? Yes. Is it going to be all the time? No. Do we meet the zoning codes now? Yes. I mean, this is something where if we're going to change who's allowed to do what, I think we need to look at our zoning ordinances probably prior to someone coming in. Now, we might be getting bit on this, but I mean, if you pass zoning and stuff, I have a hard time voting against it if you met zoning. If we put any requirements on it that we want, I understand that. Any additional requirements, I'm going to have a hard time voting against it just off what I've seen. Annie meets restrictions. I hate that for the people that live close by. But that may be something we need to look at is our zoning codes.
That's no problem. We can put you on a committee for help with that, you know. So, yeah.
Lisa's got that taken care of.
any more questions for Roy? Otherwise, we can still have some discussion, I guess. So,
I guess my only question is, your compost posting, where you got it marked there, will be outside, right?
That is correct, yes.
And the manure will be piled outside until you get it spread.
That's correct, yes. Okay.
Otherwise, thank you, Roy.
Thank you, guys and gals, again.
Because we'll entertain more discussion if people want to comment more, otherwise a motion or however we want to proceed. If they do entertain a motion, please make sure to attach that drawing and the signature on that. So, if you want to make comments, go ahead or whatever. I'll make a quick comment, I guess. This of all the permits we've done as a board, this is by far and away the most difficult one. I think everybody realizes that. It's the amount of interest, amount of concern. I will say this. The one really disappointing thing that this process here, I firmly am a strong believer of a zoning process, but this here part of the process is the same as I made a comment with our wind farm process when we amended those zoning regulations, and that is the hurt feelings and the people that are involved in all of this, the things that are said and the things that are done, and there are some of these that are going to last forever. That's the one thing I took out of the wind farm thing. That's the unfortunate part of this, and the part I'm really most disappointing in our zoning regulations, that happens. Our zoning regulations are not here for cure-alls. I just want you to know that. If we decide to go ahead and amend our zoning regulations because of this permit, basically, the next one, we still may have a lot of issues or whatever. Our zoning regulations, we're not there. That's not there to cure all, to make everything perfect or whatever. They're there so that this county can have a process by where everybody gets an opportunity to have their voice heard. I know some people I visit with, and they don't like to hear that, but you have to remember, when this thing started, Roy was proposing 12 barns. That doesn't make six right or wrong, but there was a process whereby this board, the zoning board, we went through that process, had our public hearings, and everybody got to, I hope they felt they got their voice heard. Whatever the decision is, it may not turn out right for one side or the other, but that's why we have zoning in this county, and I'm a firm believer in we need zoning. That's the comments I have to make.
I would move to disapprove resolution on special use permit number 2016-2.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We motion by Byers and a second by Juergens to disapprove, to not approve, I shouldn't say disapprove, not approve the zoning permit 16-12, the resolution for the special use permit 16-12.
So now voting yes is to not approve the resolution.
Yes, so that because of the way the motion was made, we hope everybody understands that. If you are voting against this permit, you need to vote yes on this board, on our board up there, okay? If you vote no, well, here's a question I have for Roger. If we vote, if the vote ends up more no's than yes, then is the permit approved?
No.
No, that's okay. Not the motion. Then you'd have to come back with the motion, a different motion, because this, the motion you have before you doesn't have any conditions or nothing. Okay. It's just to deny the permit, basically, to make it simple. So that everybody understands, the motion is to deny the permit. So if you vote in favor of the motion, you're denying the permit.
Any more questions?
I guess my one comment is that to disapprove this is, to me, is probably the thing to do, just in the fact that it feels like an incomplete yes. Did it meet the special use setbacks and stuff with P&Z? Yes, it did. But just as John has stated, this seems incomplete. You know, you have several things presented to you, but there's nothing in concrete. This is not, you know, this is the way it's going to be handled. And I guess that's the thing that I'm disappointed in this.
Question.
Any more question? You call for question? Vote. Five A's, Jurgens, Hill, Dorn, Lytle, and Byers, and two nays, Bauman and Tiemann. The permit does fail. Thank you.
I'd like to thank everybody, though, that we've talked to a lot of you, and everyone I talked to, as personal an issue as this is, everyone was very nice on the phone. When there's a personal issue like this, it's real easy to get mad and scream at us, and that's our job to be screamed at, too. But I do appreciate how well everyone did treat us on this, and hopefully you reciprocated, you know, we reciprocated that to you. But I do want to thank you for your inputs.
I think this was a true example of communication between the people that this county board represents and this board and your issues. And I want to thank everyone who communicated with me, and thank you very much, both. Well, I didn't have anybody.
We have more of an agenda to finish yet or whatever. So thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Nancy, for coming, too. Appreciate it very much.
I just put the motion was to deny.
Mr. Chairman, I just have Mr. Chairman, can Lisa stay?
Lisa, we need you to stay, apparently.
I just want
to
have just additional comments. I think that the board needs to consider whether or not Gage County needs to continue to be livestock friendly. I think this puts that in jeopardy. It's contrary to what we've done in the past. And if we are going to change our planning and zoning, we probably need to do that before we get another permit, because being very objective, the requirements were met. We had an opportunity to place conditions, which we didn't do, and now that's been denied, and that's the process. But I think it's contrary to being livestock friendly. I guess that's inconsistent with what we've designated ourselves several years ago. So I think we probably should have that conversation in planning and zoning, because that's a designation given to us by the state of Nebraska, and so we probably just ought to consider that.
Well, I think being livestock friendly is totally different than this situation, Mr. Bauman. It's a matter of location, and location, location, location. And I am very livestock friendly. I am very agriculture friendly. This is not an appropriate placement.
And what we need to do is we need to adjust the planning and zoning regulations, because we got that designation based on the review of our regulations. So if we're going to, contrary to the regulations, enter into some subjectivity, then we need to change the regulations to be objective and then reapply. I don't disagree that we may differ over whether we think it's a good place or not, but when we got that designation, that was based on the zoning regulations that we had. If the proposal is to change the regulations and setbacks due to densely populated areas, no different than what we did with wind, then I think we need to go through that process, and then we probably need to reevaluate if we're going to be livestock friendly in all areas of the county. it's just a discussion we probably ought to think about having, because it sounds like we need to change planning and zoning if we're going to do that in certain areas. And then we will have certain areas of the county that will be more livestock friendly, which is no different than if you read the wind regulations, certain areas of the county will be more adventitious for wind than others based on the population density. So we've changed regulations before, and we can do that. I don't think it's appropriate to make exceptions, but we probably need to review that.
I'm certainly willing to have that discussion, but I think Gage County remains livestock friendly, and you know, but there are different issues for different circumstances, and this is one of them. But I think Gage County remains livestock friendly, but we should have that discussion.
I will say we need to come up with a set of rules that we actually are happy with, though. Planning and zoning's gone through everything, put all the time in to make sure everything does meet what we've said is what we're going to require. And then we've said, well, everything is met, and we're going to vote against it again. I would hate the thought to lose the classification as livestock friendly. We need every bit of economic growth that we can get, whether it be commercial, industrial, agricultural, and I still consider confinements farming. I guess I've never thought of confinements as anything other than farming. I don't see them in town. It's part of farming. It's modern farming. It's different than it was, but I still see confinements as farming. I want to, any group, I don't want to send any message out there to any group as they want to bring facilities of different sorts into our county. I don't want the perception that we're not open for business or that we're not encouraging them and helping them in any way we can. Hopefully Mr. Mulder will come back with a different plan here that is more palatable to the board, maybe another producer.
I just, you know, you talk about opening a can of worms. It's a Pandora's box. You know, when you first adopted it, not you guys, the people preceding you adopted the zoning regs. I'm sure that was a bloodletting, because it is. It's a balancing act between what I want, what my neighbor wants, and our competing property interests. We're both right. There has to be a compromise. That's what your zoning regs are, is a compromise, a painstaking compromise. You open that sucker up again, I'm telling you, you think the windmill thing was fun? You open that blue book up with your zoning regs, and most of you will term out before you see it completed. Just because people, it's very emotional, and that's the way you have to balance it. I'm not being critical or anything on this deal. I'm just saying the buck stops at this desk, you know, the people around here. It's not a pleasant choice. And you had to make a choice. You made it. Fine, move on. Again, if there's something that, as you went through the process, we found a couple things as we went through the process upstairs, we're going to bring to Lisa, but they're tweaking the procedure, not the substance of what was done. And again, if we need to look at, and again, P&Z was fine with without any conditions. The zoning administrator, maybe she, you know, say, hey, this, because of the proximity of the house or something, I want X, Y, and Z, and present that to P&Z. Again, everybody learns something from these things. I'm just saying, don't throw out the book over a situation because it's tough. Unfortunately, you don't get paid enough to make those kind of decisions, but that's your job. I'll leave it at that, and I'll quit.
I think in time I'll have a visit with you, and not right away. We need some time, I think the board does, to, you know, digest this or whatever and stuff. And we will, and we'll come back and have some conversations. And before, so just people don't think we're going to go out there and change our zoning regulations, before we ever do that, we'll have a lot of conversations with this board, with the Lisa and the zoning board, whether or not there, as Roger says, whether or not there is a need or an interest to change some of those, okay? Amend them, not change them, amend them.
It just makes it rough, though, from the investor, you know, the operator's side. You know, this is hypothetically, not in regards to this one now, but hypothetically, if I want to do something, I go and I check with the county. These are my rules. I'm following the rules. I make changes to make sure I fit within those rules. And then to get denied, personally, if I was doing that, I wouldn't be real happy. If we're going to have rules in place, the windmills, we change the rules. because we decided as a county, evidently, we don't like wind energy. Well, in my opinion, the rules we changed them to. I didn't like that, but, you know, we set the rules up. So here's the rules. Yep. Investors know what they have to play by. They know the rules of the game. If we do put rules in place or we have the zoning in place and we set this up for the investors, for the people that are trying to do things, when they follow those rules, how do we tell them no at the end of the day and say, well, those are the rules except if we just don't happen to feel that way that day. And I'm, you know, I'm over-embellishing, but that's...
No, but you have a valid point. I mean, you have a valid point. I won't argue. Lisa, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, as far as when we look at the regulations, we have to be, you've always told us we have to be fair within what goes on throughout the whole county. I do think if you are asking us to revisit setbacks and so forth, we need to look more at the land use maps, take a look at our whole county, maybe perhaps, you know, have that drive-through by Hannah Keelan again, looking at the northern demographics again, where we're seeing growth, the comments were coming to us about be ready for, we know the southern growth is coming. So we could direct it more through land use maps and determining the usage through our transitional A1s and A2s than it is being specific to, you know, AUs not allowed. I guarantee the poultry situations here, you're going to see a lot more in the next 2 years. And for agriculture to be continue to be a part of that, we have to be ready for it. We won't have our regs, you know, in place or change or land use maps change for that because our Hannah Keelan issue took us, what, 2 years probably, I think, before we actually, you know, had that drive-through expense to the county, but it's probably time again to do it again and revisit it, but direct it through your land use maps and look at what's allowable in certain districts.
And Lisa made a good point. I'm not saying the thing that's going on up at Fremont that we will have any of those barns in Gage County, but approximately 8 months ago already, some of the ag boards in the state of Nebraska knew what was coming. There were farmers approached in Gage County 8 months ago already about barns. So just because this barn didn't pass don't mean that this county's not going to have the possibility of more. I mean, that the numbers, when you hear the numbers up there, that's pretty large or whatever and stuff. So, I mean, those are just thoughts and stuff. But Walker, he's our... You wanted to comment, a quick comment? Up here at the mic and say who you are and with what you're with the...
Walker Zolkowski with Engage. One thing to kind of consider when you're looking at these planning things is that the Department of Agriculture just commissioned a study to do a matrix, a planning matrix, and they're in the public comment period until the end of this month.
Yes.
So I had to talk to Michelle Weber, who put it together, and she has some time. The first would be like the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of the final week of July to come down here. So if you guys give me, like, send me an email, or I can get an email going around, we can find a date that works, and I can have her down, and we can present to everyone and kind of listen to that matrix.
I did go online and look at those. There's a scoring process they have, and it's you need to have so many points or you don't qualify. And then there's I'll just say this, it's quite a in-depth, detailed analysis of what would be a proposed site or whatever. And because they went into, fortunately, I couldn't pull it up, don't know how to on my computer. They showed the different, you could pinpoint a location, it would tell you all the days the wind was coming from what direction, you know, how many days out of the year and all of that, and the velocity. That is quite a undertaking. Now, that's something that we will make sure we look at as we go forward. But, no, Don, get old Don here to get her emails, because some of us, I sure would be interested in if you're going to have her down here to visit with them.
Yeah, I'll pick one of those 3 days if we find one that works for best for everyone.
I'm not contending changing. I'm saying we ought to have a conversation because what took place today is not, in my opinion, an objective execution of the zoning regs that we have. And if we need to feel differently about them, we probably ought to have that conversation. And you know, whether or not we change anything. I think Hannah Keelan, we did that in 2010.
And you can visit with 20.
Was it 2010? I think we went through it. So here we are, six going on 7 years later. You know, periodically you got to spend money to redo those, and land use changes, and demographics change, and population density. And so, You know, with respect to Mr. Mulder, we had a process, and you know, he followed through that, and his permit was denied under the conditions that were that we laid out. So, you know, I think it would be remiss if we didn't go back and look at that a little bit differently of the process, whether it be conditional stuff before it ever gets out of planning and zoning or wherever. So we just ought to have that conversation because I think it's just different.
Agreed.
I laid a couple of these Cornstalk magazines. It's from the spring of 16. And the main article in here is Nebraska Livestock Friendly. And if you haven't read it, I think everybody on this board should read it.
Walker one.
It speaks to what Lisa said. It speaks to what Matt said. It's the land use. It's the area. One of the things that they stated was the county has taken steps to reduce non-farm development and non-farm residential density to discourage land uses that conflict with animal agriculture and areas identified for agriculture. And if we had areas in the county that were designated for agriculture, these non-farm usage would not be an issue because you have your agricultural setups. And there's another statement later on, just a quote from the Knox County zoning administrator. We focus on siting livestock operations in our primary ag districts while also protecting the lake and river areas that are critical to tourism in our area. And, you know, to me, this wasn't a vote against planning and zoning. This was, to me, it was a stewardship deal as far as being 100% prepared and putting a plan in place.
Any more comments? Otherwise, we're going to take a short break.
Yeah, by the way, I suggested to Myron when we come back, we want to do a findings of fact as far as why the denial, based on your guidelines. And so the motion and second should be thinking about that.
Did you hear that, Denny?
No.
Roger.
Sorry.
Basically says to give the applicant guidance as to why it was rejected. In other words, from your motion, those seven guidelines, the motion mover and the second should go through and spell those out and basically develop a consensus.
When we come back from breaks, we'd like comment from you and John had the no, Jerry had the second. Comments from you of why you decided, why you made the motion to vote against it. That is more for a record and housekeeping for...
Basically, the court will require that if it goes on.
Okay.
Because otherwise there's no way for anybody to take it up and appeal it.
So we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, if not, have Roger come over and visit with you so you understand what he's asking for, I guess.
I understand what he's asking for.
Okay, you got a copy of those?
I'm not sure it's appropriate what he's asking for.
Well, I mean, we have to spell that out since it was an action that is subject to appeal.
I have made millions of motions. I've never had to do that in my entire life. The discussion prior to the motion would be appropriate in why the motion was made. But to have to make an additional explanation of why, I'm sorry, well, Counselor, but...
Well, if we don't do it, I'll guarantee an appeal, and we will lose.
Okay.
If there would have been a motion to approve it and it would have been voted down, then
we'd have to do the same thing.
Well, you still
If you move to approve it, because there are some people that may not have agreed with that motion if it had carried... So they also have a right to appeal it. So you're doing, Senator, is saying here's why I don't think it should be granted. And it doesn't. But if you don't have that, basically the court doesn't hear everything that went on.
I'll do it.
All right. Thank you.
32 then. 10:18 on the clock. We're going to take a break.
Yep.
Okay. It's 10:28 on the clock, and we'll call back to order the Board of Supervisors meeting. And I believe we have a thing to finish up here.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, again, I apologize for coughing and disrupting the meeting. We do need to set forth the criterion which the movement and the second had in mind in their motion to deny the Mulder permit using the
7 guidelines that are in your planning and zoning book. So I would just ask that as first order of business coming off the recess, that that be included.
I'd like to give either of them the chance to change their mind, too.
That's emotional.
Okay, I'll go ahead.
Denny, go ahead. You made the Denny Byers made the motion, so he's going to comment first.
Right. I basically, my motion was made to disapprove the resolution because I felt it was detrimental to adjacent property, and it would have a tendency to depreciate the value of the surrounding property and structures, and it would could definitely change the character of the district where it was built. So these were my reasons.
Okay, and Terry Durgan's had the
Myron,
second.
I have to agree with those 3, 4, and 6. I saw detrimental to adjacent property, decrease the value of property, and would definitely change the character of the district it's going in.
Okay. Thank you very much, both of you. So, I think now maybe we can move on the agenda.
Yeah, if anybody, okay. Anybody else wants to make...
Denny, you're never too old to do something. You just did something new.
I'm learning. I have a good counselor who takes care of
it. Well, if I hadn't been coughing so much, we'd have done it before the break. I apologize.
Nope. Next up on our agenda is to approve or disapprove the fiscal year 16-17 agreement between Gage County and Region 5 Systems for Emergency Protective Custody Service.
Okay. I think Roger had initially received a copy from Region 5 as a draft, and then he got the final document. I did not hear of any really changes on... To my knowledge, there was no change.
No. And again, this is one of those very good agreements as far as they're very helpful and helping keep the costs under control. Unfortunately, we have a lot of these situations with the EPCs, and if we were left to our own accord to have to negotiate with the entities in Lincoln, it would be much more expensive for this county. So Region 5 really does a service for us in that regard.
I would move to approve the fiscal year 16-17 agreement between Gage County and Region 5 Systems for EPS, Emergency Protective Custody Service.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Thiemann. More discussion? And part of what it does in here, it lists a dollar amount, a minimum charge of $191 will be assessed for any length of stay for 24 hours or less. So it lists some of those guidelines in here. Roger has reviewed it, so any discussion? Vote 7-0 in favor. And... everybody on the board needs to sign 2 copies. discuss and approve or disapprove resolution approving the insurance by Boswa as a joint entity solid waste disposal facilities revenue refunding bonds series 2016. And that's what you're here for, Mark.
That's correct. I will, if I may.
Mark or Myron?
Let's have a motion first if we can on this.
Well, no, okay. Go ahead and speak first.
Well, no, go ahead and make a motion. Or go ahead.
Well, I mean, we should hear what he's got to say, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. If you go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Mark Munford with Emeritus Investment Corp. And the resolution today in front of you is concerning the Beatrice Area Solid Waste Agency bonds that were issued in 2011. And there's the agency, Boswa has their own agency that's created. There's also, it's a joint agency with the city and the county. And so the purpose of this resolution is to refund the old bonds, issue new. We're going from about a 3.2% bond that's outstanding to about 1.5%. Savings are roughly $80,000 net present value, which is about 8.5-9% present value savings. This resolution will allow a
authorized officer from Boswa to sign off on the final rates. Okay? So I don't have the final rates in front of you today, but since we had three different meetings to get to here, we're doing a, what's called a parameters resolution that allows us to move forward under said parameters. And so that's what we're looking for your approval today on that.
Is this additional capital, or is this just refunding?
We're refunding old. So just like you would do your home mortgage, where you'd lower the interest rate when it's there, this is what we're doing. So you're going to see an interest savings, or they will see an interest savings. We're estimating between $80,000 and $90,000. And actually how they're going to take the savings, we're going to have a minimal savings each year. We're going to shorten the maturity by hopefully three full years.
Mark, as it's set up now, this bond is through 2025, is that correct?
The existing one now that was done in 11, its final maturity is 2027.
Okay.
And we'll shorten it. Hopefully to 25, possibly 24.
John and I attended Boswell meeting last night with the city council, and it was a unanimous decision at that time to do this. Makes common sense to me. Just like refinancing a house, if you can get it done cheaper and pay it off sooner, basically what's going to be done here, it's for the landfill, the dump.
Yeah, it's for the landfill.
Mark, just one thing, and as I look through these things.
Yes.
We had a similar situation. The hospital bond came up. They wanted to refinance that. On page 3 of the last document, it indicates basically the county saying we don't have any other bonds out there to 501c3s.
When you say the last document, page 3.
Yeah. Second to the last page, I'm sorry. That'd been easier. And I just wanted to, it's basically saying the county covenants agrees, excuse me, that basically we don't have any other of those type bonds out there. And we can't make that representation.
I'm not following you. What section? Do you have a section on that?
Oh, let's see here. Let's say section 6.
Okay.
And it'd be E.
Looks like John tried to
get it. 6E. B.
And it's E and on 1 and 2 there. And I just wanted to make sure, you know, that you weren't getting blindsided on that. I don't think it makes any difference, but...
Okay, when I'm looking at section 6, starting with without in any way limiting the power or authority... Oh, if we're looking at the same document.
Mine in a different order here. Let me.
Yeah, that could be.
I'm sorry, Mike.
Well, let me just... No, you're fine.
Make sure you want me to get you something to drink?
I like some bourbon something. And some honey might be in order.
Freaking 9mm.
Why don't you guys sit next to each other?
Yeah.
It's basically a representation we make whenever we do these bonds, because that allows you to get more favorable interest rates. And I just wanted, I do not recall, I talked to Don, I can't remember how much those... Because the hospital, remember, they just did those.
Yeah, we do by designate the bonds to qualify as exempt. That, what that's referring to is that you did not. Have you issued more than $10 million?
In the calendar year?
Let me go back.
I just wanted to make sure, because I, you know.
Yeah, that, see, because we didn't do the hospital work.
Because, see, when we did these the first time.
Right.
That wasn't a problem. That was accurate.
Right. Well, the other part of that is if those were refunding bonds from the hospital, they may be deemed designated.
They were, because they
bank qualified as well.
Okay, that's fine.
They could be.
Okay, I just wanted to. I agree with Mr. Jurgens. I would recommend the board do that. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, no, because this issue definitely doesn't exceed the $10 million.
Right.
That could be. I mean, we may need to change that if indeed they are not, the other ones aren't deemed designated bank qualified.
I didn't want to represent to your on the bond if that's not accurate.
Right.
How will we be able to find that out? You looking
well,
that up?
No, I'm trying to look and see when we had that on the agenda.
Well, what we'll need to do, what I'll need to do is go back and just ask the...
Do you have a good idea when we did those hospital bonds? You remember? Is that more than a year ago? Or I don't remember doing them. The attorney was
I remember because I asked Jim Nelson.
Yeah, Jim Nelson.
And the other counsel that they had from Omaha, he says, explain to me why this is important. And that's, you know, our might not have any other bonds out there. The county qualifies as a special.
Within the year.
It's within calendar year, but let me backtrack too. When these were originally issued as tax exempt, bank qualified, so when you go to refund them, they're automatically categorized in that because once you were, you are. Okay. Now, in the event that they exceeded that with the hospital. I don't believe that's going to affect this particular issue.
Plus, that would have been more than a year ago.
I don't think.
But when was that done in the county or calendar year 16?
2 years.
Because it's calendar year.
It wouldn't have been calendar year.
It wouldn't have been.
Oh, then it's not even a concern.
It wouldn't have been 16.
No, it wouldn't have been 16. It was longer ago than 16.
It was 14 or 15.
I think it was before.
It might have been longer ago than a year ago.
Right.
Okay. Well,
yeah, no, that's fair there. No, that shouldn't affect us because it's calendar year. It's per calendar year.
Well, maybe.
We'll have her keep checking.
We should be fine. If we have an issue, I'll sure let you know, but I don't see that being a problem.
Okay.
Yeah, no, thank you, Roger.
I entertain a motion then to approve issuing the Boswell.
Make a motion to approve.
Resolution 16-13.
16-13, resolution. Juergens made the motion. Who seconded?
Second.
Lytle. Vote. 7-0 in favor. Now, do you need a signature for every one of us yet there?
Oh, there'll be one on here, but I'd be happy to leave them with Dawn if she wants to work through them today sometime, and I can come back tomorrow, what have you.
Well, we have everybody here. It looked like there was a form on there. Everybody needed to sign it.
There is. There is a... let me get that for you.
I was just impressed that the county attorney, in his testimony, actually agreed with Supervisor.
Is this
Curtis.
The one?
Yes. It's very rare. Yeah. You're right.
I've got, John, I've got some finals here if you want to use these, which has...
He met me in the hallway earlier.
Actually, they'll be... I had them, I thought.
If you need to, you can sure take time and go look for those or whatever.
Yeah, why don't you guys carry on? Let me dig that up and I'll give them to you, Don. Okay.
Okay. Next on the
Thanks,
agenda.
Guys.
Thank you, Mark. Approve or disapprove resolution for emergency relief program, emergency repairs and certification of compliance for project ER-2920(6L34-1)-N-19 grant control number 13334.
Motion to approve.
16-14.
Motion by Juergens, second by Thiemann.
Yeah.
Galen, you just wanted
Bauman.
Oh, Bauman. Oh, second by Bauman. Sorry. Bad hearing.
Motion by Bauman.
Okay. Motion was by Bauman? Motion by Bauman, second by Thiemann. Still bad hearing.
Huh? Get the feathers out of your ears.
I heard that. Galen, you want to just come up and briefly explain these? There are one, two, three, four, five of these. Did we include these all in the same one? Do I need to read these all then?
No, they're all separate because they all have separate numbers.
They all have separate numbers. Okay, just to kind of explain what's happening here.
Okay, in May 2015, when we had all the flooding going on, NDOR put in for emergency relief funds to the Federal Highway, and the Federal Highway granted these funds. These funds are for all the major collector roads in Gage County. This is a separate issue from the FEMA funds. Because it's two different organizations on this. And there was part of the criteria for this through there, they call it ER, Emergency Relief Funds, was that the project sites had to be a minimum $5,000. We had five sites that qualified for this funding, and that's what these five locations are for.
Locations are.
Yes, and all the sites have been completed.
All the work has been completed.
It has been completed.
They've been down and inspected. I mean, they've come down and looked at them.
Yes.
The work's been completed. Work's been approved. I'll take this time to say nice work there. As I've been working in a couple other counties, I cannot believe how lucky we are to have the crews that are doing what they do in Gage County. But I take for granted that you go across the county line and the roads are going to be like they are here. They are not. they're not maintained the same. So it's nice to see these done, getting money back into the account for work that's done right, and our other roads still looking good along the way.
We visit about these at committee meeting, and these next five, we'll keep going through them and approve them here, but these next five, the total dollar amount back was a little over $170,000. But we'll have to have Galen maybe give you an exact amount here or whatever, that these next five resolutions that the county has done the work, some of this was contracted out, so we've paid for it, everything's paid for, and this is... basically, it's reimbursement of those funds, and Galen can give you the dollar if he's got it. Go ahead and comment on those each.
Well, I've got the dollar amount for each one. I never did add them up.
List those. Yep, go ahead. They have a record. And we have a record on hand, too, then, Galen. Yep.
Okay. For project number, and these, all five projects start out ER-2920. Six, then they have a L34-1. The L34-1, this one here was a project up in north of 19 Grant, was $39,901.02. The L34-4 was a east of Claytonia, 21 Claytonia project. It's $11,708.22. L34-5 was a project up in north of 20 Grant. The total was $24,302.46. Project L34-6 was on the Hoyg Road, and it was $19,575.75. The last project was L34-7. This was up on the Blue Ridge Road, between DeWitt and the Turkey Creek Bridge. It was $87,655.13.
That was basically that culvert, wasn't that one?
This last one? No, actually there was between DeWitt on the, we call it the Blue Ridge Road to the bridge, that's where the Turkey Creek really went across the road and basically completely destructed that road. It cut big troughs, and it really done a lot of damage on that.
The railroad follows that road.
Yeah.
It undercut a bunch of the ties and all that.
That's just a couple of miles south of DeWitt there.
Yeah, from basically the edge of DeWitt going south. Yep.
Thank you, Galen. Okay, we have a motion to approve resolution 16-14, which is the L34-1. Motion was by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann. Vote. 7-0. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove resolution for emergency relief program, emergency repairs, and certification of compliance for project ER-2920, parentheses 6, L34-4, parentheses East 21, Claytonia, control number 13334, and
16-15.
Motion to approve.
16-15. Second. Motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann. Vote. 7-0 in favor. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove resolution for emergency relief program, emergency repair and certification of compliance for project ER-2920, parentheses 6, L34-5, north 20 of Grant DeWitt Road, control number 13334. For $24,302.
Motion to approve resolution 16-16.
Very good.
Second.
I could do the clerk's job.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann. Vote. 7-0. Motion to approve resolution for emergency program, emergency repairs and certification of compliance for project ER-2920, parentheses 6, L34-6, parentheses Hoyg Road, control number 13334. $19,575.75.
Motion to approve resolution 16-17.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann. Vote. That was 16-17 resolution, right?
Correct.
Correct.
You said it so fast you didn't understand.
Yeah. Motion to approve or disapprove resolution for emergency relief program, emergency repairs, and certification of compliance for project ER-2920, parentheses 6, L34-7, Blue Ridge Road, parentheses, control number 13334, for approximately $87,655.15.
Motion to approve resolution 16-18.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann. Vote. 7-0 in favor.
Was that Thiemann or Lyle?
Thiemann. Well, I heard Thiemann. I don't
okay,
care.
You
put
said
down
Thiemann.
Lyle.
Okay, did well,
you,
which one?
Thiemann, did you say anything or not?
I always say something.
I beat him to it.
Lytle, then. Motion seconded by Lytle. Next up, and Galen, yeah, this time we have Galen stay till the end of the meeting. Last time, it's approve or disapprove rescinding a motion made on June 22nd to sign the general status inquiry from Universal Security Company.
Motion to approve rescinding the motion we made on June 22nd.
Second. It's surety and not security, right?
Oh, it's surety.
Just
yep, it's S-U-R-E-T-Y.
Motion by Hill, seconded
by Bauman. Maybe Don had
yep.
it.
Yep. Motion by Don Hill, seconded by Bauman. Last time we let Galen leave early, or I did. I said, Galen, we didn't need you anymore. We had the discussion on this, and we had the discussion with Roger, and we kind of thought it was okay to go ahead and approve this and send it back to him. Don, in the meantime, there was some information needed here, so she called Galen's office to get information to fill out this request. And Galen said, no, you do not fill that out. You do not send those back. Don called me. I called Mark Minnelli, our engineer up there in Lincoln, and his comments were the same thing. He says, I always advise every county I do, you never send these back. They're just trying to basically clean up their books so that they look a little better. He says, no, you don't. This is one of those forms you don't send back to them because they don't need it back. It perpetuity, it eventually just die anyway, he says. So you do not send this one back to them.
When does it end, then, if you don't have a release from surety?
Well, it ends when the contract's finished. So it's over.
Yeah.
You couldn't get a nickel out of Universal Surety if you tried right now.
That's the thing. Why right. not send them back? That's what right. I don't understand. I always want them back.
Well, what we got is that extended warranty.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, to get to the surety bond, you're going to have to go through the warranty. So, and again, that's fine. My thought on this thing is you work with people that you're going to work with hopefully in the future. I didn't see any benefit coming from the county or for the county on that because if we got an issue, we got till what? August 15th?
No, and 31st.
Okay. Yeah, where? And
in August.
Put them on notice and.
August 1st, I think.
August 1st, okay.
I think it's August 1st or is it August 31st?
I think we
have
to.
What the?
I put them on notice for August 1st.
You put
them. 31st.
Yeah, get it done. Okay, yes.
That's right, yeah, because we did put a number or a date in there yes. to get it. Yeah. So. I don't have a problem.
So I don't care either. It's just that based on the advice of our highway superintendent or engineer, we shouldn't send it back, I guess. So
that's fine. They want to make the bond company mad, no problem.
Yep.
I just give you a hard time. I really don't have a problem with it. And have we had any other claims on it, on the warranty thing?
No.
Okay. Good. It's been long enough.
Yep.
Did we have a motion on this?
Mm-hmm. Ellen Bauman.
Any more discussion? Vote. 6 in favor with Byers voting no.
I'm abstaining.
Abstaining.
Present.
Oh, you weren't here last week. Right. Byers abstaining because he was not here at last meeting. Okay. Anything else? Oh, hold on. We didn't do committee meetings. I forgot about that.
Before we go to committee reports, is Matt going to have to leave in the near future? If he is, we're probably going to close session.
Are you able to stay a while yet, or when are you leaving?
In about 10 minutes.
You are?
I didn't see.
We should go to close session.
Then we're going to go to close session. We'll do our committee reports afterwards and stuff. And entertained a motion at 10:53 to go into closed session for personnel. And we also had on there possible litigation update.
Yeah.
So, necessary for the protection of the public interest or protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. I need a motion and a second.
So moved.
Okay.
Have a motion.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, and second by Bauman. Vote 7-0.
Wait a second. Terry can't leave.
He's not leaving.
Ready to go on record?
They don't even want to eat up there.
We're not.
We're on.
11:09 on the clock. I'll entertain a motion to come out of executive session.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Byers. Vote 7-0 in favor.
I was going to move that we don't stay in executive station.
So that we'd have to vote the opposite way again. So yeah.
But you don't want that to happen.
Part on our agenda yet, unless Galen or Lisa has something else. We have not done committee reports. So buildings and grounds.
Well, we had Dave Jones here at our committee meetings, and Dave's on vacation, but he gave us a report on what's happening on the restrooms and where we're going there. And basically, he's staying on top of the building, keeping it in good shape. So I think we're in pretty good shape.
And I can't remember the guy's name that is doing the stuff on the outside. Greg Dennis.
Right.
He was here, too, and gave a report. So
gave us a good report. And he'll be bringing in, he'll be proposing some things as far as the rest of the outside.
Definite cost of what the west side here, laying that all out and stuff. Right. So hopefully by our next meeting we'll have that. Equalization. Nothing. Finance, insurance.
Not a whole lot new, just counting our eggs as at the end of the beginning of the fiscal year here to see how many we have.
I'll make a quick comment. Everybody got that sheet there that says this Gage County funding one lists all the amounts. If you look at the inheritance ones down there, I had to ask Don the question. We start out with over $3 million. We collected $53,000, and then we spent $435,000 for the armor coating. But then that $139,000 transfer, that's actually a transfer in because of the bookkeeping over at the treasurer's office that showed up here now, and it's a transfer in of collections. So that's why there's still $2.8 million. Otherwise, if you did the math, it shouldn't be $2.8 million if you took that as a transfer out.
She said it went into, and on the report that Matt has, I think there's a temporary inheritance. It's like on 9,000 something. It's one of the back pages you have. Yeah. It's called temporary inheritance fund. And so then she moved it from that temporary to the inheritance.
Yeah. So there was actually, in this last month here, there was 190,000 came into inheritance. So that's just more of a information for everybody than anything else, I guess. So, a law enforcement, emergency management.
Gus had to take off because they got busy with something. He's got a new new deputy that he was wanting to introduce. He's going to do that at the next meeting. Other than that, I don't have anything on law enforcement.
Well, just that he talked about a deer in a car again, which he talked
about. Another one?
Yeah, because that morning one got hit.
Oh, Friday morning.
Yeah, Friday morning.
Yeah. There was two vehicles that actually got hit.
Yeah.
Thursday or Friday last week, yes.
Yeah.
So that's
good. Were they on the trip home or to home or from home? Or were they during the day?
At least it wasn't a chicken.
Yeah, at least you didn't hit a chicken. Hit a deer.
There's no chickens up there.
Yeah.
There's no chickens up there.
Or windmills.
Okay, road and bridge. Terry left already.
Yeah.
I think most of that covered. But, however, I do have a quick update on Hickory Road and the railroad crossing. Yesterday, I think I mentioned a little bit. Well, I don't think I mentioned everybody here. You know, we haven't got any results at all with the railroad crossing. Talked to a guy up in Adams, used to work for a railroad. He came out with a phone book about that thick of Burlington numbers. Yeah. So he gave me three numbers to call down Fort Worth. Called them about 10 days ago and never really got no response. Well, yesterday the one guy called back.
That's good.
And got to visit with him. Did send him an email last night. Becky down at the office down there found our email from Kansas City office for the $85,000 proposal out there. Sent that all down to him. Sent him Galen's information, phone numbers, all of Matt Manning's information, phone numbers within five. I did that at 9:55 last night. At 10:01, he sent an email back. Thank you much for the information. He said this sure gives us something to go with. I also will contact the Department of Roads. Hope we can get something done for you guys in time.
Don't have to go to the Board of Classifications for approval?
No. So maybe, I can't tell you for sure, but he did email back Galen and Matt because I CC'd both of them, so he emailed something back to them too. Can't guarantee nothing, but maybe we'll get a little something done on the rail track. However, his one comment was, he says, I don't know how good that offer still is or whatever.
Yeah.
It was made more than a year ago. He says, we will need to do some recalculating to see what it's actually going to take. But he also said in there, he says, not sure if that part of the reason he wanted to visit Department of Roads is that going to require, like, arms or not. Because right now it's only lights. There aren't any arms there, are there?
Thought they decided it did not need arms.
Well, but see, he's going to visit with him. So just so everybody's aware of that.
Standards
so.
May have changed.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Could have.
I mean, seriously.
Or maybe the standards are this, and when we take it up there, they're just going to go ahead and vote something completely different.
Hopefully that gets done. So that I think, otherwise everybody else has a written report of Road and Bridge, unless somebody else has a comment.
Not really.
Yours afterwards, good. We're done then with committee reports, so if you would like, do you want it in the meeting or afterwards?
After the meeting, off record.
Perfect. Anything else for the good of the order? We'll adjourn at 11:15 on the clock.